Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. Indiana with a big win last night over Florida State in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. And obviously a fun performance to watch Indiana out there. And I know a lot of excited fans with us today after such a strong performance and a win 80-64 in Assembly Hall last night for IU. I tell you what, you never want to get too carried away with just one big performance, but this was exciting. This is something that should give you hope that this season can be fun and that Indiana can win some of the games that maybe just weeks ago others didn't think they could and can maybe finish higher in the Big Ten than what some of the preseason projections were. Indiana last night, especially in the first half, was basically perfect. They did everything that you could want a team to do against Florida State as far as the defending certain things went. As far as offensively, they were red-hot shooting the ball. Devontae Green comes in with a great start to the game, and, of course, that start, for the most part, would continue. I mean, even though the guy had some crazy passes and turnovers late in the game, he had 30 points, so you've just kind of got to live with some of that stuff, as Archie Miller has said in his own words before. But a big win last night for Indiana. Going to be really fun to see what happens over the next couple weeks. I know so many fans are hopeful about this team when you ask their thoughts on IU this season, but are cautious because the Hoosiers, until last night, really have not played anyone to speak of that's a high-level, very athletic opponent, very strong, tough opponent, much like a Big Ten-type team until last night. And so to see Indiana get the month of December, at least, started off in the fashion they did, is big stuff. To see Devontae Green step into that big scoring role, not that we think he'll average 30 points or that he'll score 30 points maybe again this season, but the fact that he was so dominant with the basketball and able to score against Florida State, obviously you've got to think is a good sign moving in against some of the upcoming big competition on the Indiana schedule. There were just so many good things last night. Indiana finished the game strong. That's something that the Hoosiers haven't always done. And, of course, yes, Devontae was on fire with some of those crazy shots that went in that helped create some space down the stretch. But, you know, you got to look at Trace Jackson Davis. We've talked so much about him in the month of November. Once again, he did what he's done every other game, almost a double-double again last night. He was 2 rebounds shy of a double-double. He had 15 points. And this was against, again, the big guys of Florida State, not the big guys of Louisiana Tech or another mid-major team, no matter how solid of teams they may have been. Just a little different last night. The length, the size didn't seem to bother Trace Jackson Davis that much. He looked really good for a freshman. And I also think last night, and the announcers alluded to this a couple times, I think that last night cemented, at least here in the first month or so of the season, Trace's reputation as a big-time freshman, not just at Indiana, maybe not even just in the Big Ten, but in the world of college basketball across the board last night. Justin Smith was good. He's so athletic, so good on defense last night. And again, you start to see all these pieces, and this is without Rob Phinisee. This is without this is with Al Durham scoring just a handful of points. This is with Joey Brunk not having a very good game across the board, that Indiana was able to accomplish a big victory last night. So a lot of excitement out there in Hoosier Nation today. I think a lot of people wish that they could carry this momentum right into the next game and play again today or tomorrow and keep it going. But last night was fun to watch. It was fun to see this team come together And I think you got to be hopeful that Indiana is a team that can exceed expectations. And if they play like that, be an NCAA tournament team. And I know we're a long way from that. You don't want to get overjoyed or overexcited about one big victory to start the month of December. But, you know, you have to think about this. And with the way Indiana's schedule's built, especially with how the month of November was, last night is a resume builder for the NCAA tournament. It may have been Indiana's first real test. I guess the first real test is that they didn't hurt their resume by tripping up against any lower-level, mid-level teams in the month of November. The biggest test so far, Florida State, they win that one in convincing fashion. A good start, a good mark on IU's NCAA tournament resume. And I know it's crazy to talk about the NCAA tournament, but I think it's worth talking about the NCAA tournament and the resume and each step forward that you've got to look at, because this team may get down to the nitty-gritty in a win or two in December versus a loss or two in a game like that last night can make all the difference. Welcome in to the Hoosier Report. It's presented by CC Power Sports. Glad you're with us. If you're new to the program, we do this each and every weekday at 11 a.m. here on the Big X Sports Radio. Also, the replay most days at 3 o'clock on the Big X, and we're on SoundCloud. It's an app you can download. Search the Hoosier Report. Also, Apple Podcast. Same thing. Just type in the Hoosier Report. You'll find us on there. Complete coverage of Indiana University sports, basketball specifically, and we also talk Southern Indiana sports as well. Let's get into the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Today in our Zaxby's headlines, that's what we'll do as always in segment number one. We'll talk more about this IU victory. We'll talk more about the Big Ten ACC challenge last night. Michigan, I thought maybe they would be real close if not get a victory at Louisville last night. That wasn't the case. Michigan State goes down and goes down in a big way at home to Duke. So a couple headliners in the conference, or at least teams that you consider maybe up toward the top of the conference, unsuccessful last night, including Michigan State on their home court. We'll talk about that as well. And a couple high school notes also coming up here in a few minutes. Later in the program, as always on Wednesdays, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic joins me. Dustin was at the game last night. We'll break down some of the big moments from the game, some of the big performances in the game, and just generally talk about where Indiana is at as they complete task number one in the month of December. And then later in the show, Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, he's with me to talk local sports. High school basketball is well underway in his segment each week presented by Major League Shirt Company. We'll dive into a lot of the big performances and things that have happened so far in this season, so you don't want to miss that. Don't forget, at Honey Baked Ham, while you're out with your Christmas list shopping, don't forget your dedicated employees and business associates you would like to show appreciation for at Honey Baked Ham gift card. A ham or turkey make a very nice gifting ideas. You can call the store at 812-941-9426. Again, 812-941-9426, or stop by at 3602 Northgate Court in New Albany. Love to hear from you. Excuse me. Love to hear from you today. You can interact with the show. Love for you to submit a comment or a question. It might get read on the air or used as a question for Dustin or Craig, our guest today. You can follow me on Twitter at Hoosier Hills. Again, at Hoosier Hills on Twitter. You can tweet me a question or comment there. You can also follow the page. We have a Facebook page. Search the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you can like it. You can leave messages there. You can follow all of our podcasts there and other announcements about the show as well. A couple of ways that you can interact with the program today. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. And last night, coming right out of the gate, Florida State got out to a great start. I think they led 11-4 to start the game. And you kind of thought, uh-oh, how exactly is this going to go for Indiana? Devontae Green actually started the game on the bench, which was interesting, but came off pretty quick and went on to score 14 first-half points. And, of course, Indiana, after trailing 11-4 to start the game, they answered with a 14-1 run to take the lead, and then from that point forward ended up building a 15-point lead at 37-22 in the first half of play. Devontae Green, a career high at 30 points, 28 minutes. He was red hot with 14 points in the first half, and continued to have some big shots and big plays in the second half as well. And I think that this is something that Indiana fans probably already recognize, but I think it's worth mentioning. Again, I don't know how many games Devontae Green scores 30 points. Maybe he'll go on to do it a lot this season, or maybe he'll never do it again. But one thing Indiana fans are going to have to learn to live with is if Devontae Green is going to score the ball, if he's going to be a big part of the game, which obviously he's going to be on this team, there are going to be some negatives with that. There was a bad second half. I think it was against Louisiana Tech where he looked like Superman in the first half and looked like a high school player in the second half. Last night, as good as he was, there were a couple moments in the latter minutes of that game where you just wanted to scream with some of the passes in transition. I think maybe a pass even hit off the backboard or the very tips of Joey Brunk's hand as it went out of bounds for a turnover. There are just going to be some moments like that with Devontae Green. He's a freaky athletic player. He's been a good shooter. He can score it, obviously. Does a lot for this team, but part of that a lot for this team is going to include some Devontae plays that I think that we're already used to. So a good performance from him last night. He needs to be a dominant scorer. Archie Miller has said that over and over again, and last night was a big deal for him. I think taking that step against top-level competition to being a top scorer, a top performer for this team. Trace Jackson-Davis, I mentioned this earlier, 15 points, 3 of 5 shooting, 9 of 14. He's pretty good from the free throw line on a consistent basis. He had 8 rebounds, which means he's just 2 rebounds shy of another double-double. He's making a name for himself. We've talked about this, that, you know, as he plays better and better and shows the upside that he is and has the performances that he's had, he's going to quickly become more of an NBA prospect than what maybe even a lot of people thought, which I know for IU fans is concerning. But last night against Florida State on ESPN, he's now cementing himself as one of the key freshmen in college basketball, which is exciting to see for him. Another in-state prospect doing very well. Justin Smith last night, solid game. I think first to talk about his defense and the intensity that he brings. We know he's an athlete that can make great moves and great plays, and that also can obviously be a big boost on the defensive end of the floor as well. 14 points, 4 of 7 shooting, 6 of 9 from the free throw line, 5 rebounds, 1 assist. He had 2 turnovers in the game. And this was interesting. He tied Jackson Davis with 35 minutes. I think maybe he had just a couple ticks more than what Jackson Davis had as far as playing time. Justin Smith was the leading minute getter last night in the game for Indiana basketball. But I think you got to mention those three performances last night, specifically when you talk about this win. And our friend Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, who hosts the post-game show you can hear here on the Big X and also at assemblycall.com, he tweeted out last night, or actually earlier this morning, and I had to save it. He said, imagine 2 weeks ago if I had told you that A, Rob Phinisee wouldn't play, B, Al Durham will have only 5 points in this game, C, Jerome Hunter won't even take a shot in the game, and D, Demezi Anderson will play 20 minutes, Deron Davis will play just 1, what result would you have predicted for Indiana against Florida State? And, of course, he goes on to say yes, and Indiana won, by the way, 16 points. Pretty impressive. Rob Phinisee out. That's concerning, I think, for this team moving forward. But last night was big without him in the game. I don't think there's any question. As soon as he can go, he will be the primary ball handler for Indiana. Al Durham has had some much more efficient and bigger scoring outputs this year. Last night was not one of them. Indiana still recovers, still okay to do well without him. Jerome Hunter, who had been there for a while in the month of November, kind of taking some steps forward, getting some more minutes, being a little bit more efficient with his minutes, scoring a couple more points here and there. Last night wasn't a good night for Jerome, not even getting a shot off in the game. And, of course, Demezi Anderson, he was also another unsung hero with 20 minutes. He had a three-pointer that was big there late in the second half. So lots of things to think about, lots of interesting things last night in the game for Indiana. Also, I found it interesting that Indiana continues to do well at the free throw line. In fact, Archie Miller said in his post-game press conference, I thought it was pretty interesting that, quote, our team is built to do something really well, and that's get fouled. That was a huge thing tonight. It was big part of the game to be able to obviously take 28, make 23 to their shot attempts of 16. Hopefully we can continue to do a little better job at the line and keep making them. That's a big thing for this team. That was a quote there from Archie Miller. But found it interesting that he said this team is built to be fouled, built to get to the free throw line. So essentially they better be able to shoot them. They better be able to hit them because that's obviously going to help this Indiana team moving forward. Let's move into a few other things before we wrap up this first segment. Last night, high school basketball, a few games in the area. Floyd Central improved to 3-0, a 56-41 win over Clarksville. Generals are going to be pretty good this year. They held tough with Floyd Central for the first half or more of the game. Jake Heidbreeder, a big fourth period, a big second half. He had 23 points, and Grant Goman had 15 for Floyd Central. Clarksville was led by Davon Fuqua, who was a great football performer as well, with 19 points, and Keyshawn Minor added 15 in the loss for the Generals. Also last night, Trey Kaufman was in action. Silver Creek victorious in a big way, 80-38 over Charlestown. Kaufman had 22 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 block shots. And, of course, don't forget, he was our Big X Athlete of the Week presented by Sir Danos on Monday because he had 36 points, and it was a crazy number of rebounds as well last week against Columbus East in the opener for Silver Creek. But last night, leading the way for Silver Creek, another Division I level player in Cooper Jacoby, 26 points, 15 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals. Jacoby and Kaufman going to be an absolutely deadly combo this year in high school basketball, and Silver Creek obviously off to a great start. Number one in 3A, I think I went through the coaches' poll yesterday. I didn't have the AP poll with me, but in their respective class, Silver Creek number one as the defending state champion with a lot of key performers returning in 3A basketball. So that's really cool to see for the area as well. But definitely last night, Floyd Central a step forward. Silver Creek clearly going to be a team to reckon with here in the area as high school basketball underway and continues here in the area. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. Don't forget that Zaxby's does catering, party-sized platters of your favorite appetizers, entrees, and sides at Zaxby's with locations in New Albany and Jeffersonville. One quick announcement before we head to a commercial break and get to our interview with Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. Happy to tell you that starting on Friday, we have our Southern Indiana tip-off show, which will air. It'll actually air Thursdays and again on Friday before the high school games get underway. So kind of going into our Friday night broadcast, which this week will be Castle from down near Evansville at Floyd Central. Lee Kelly and myself will be on the call of that game. But we'll have the Southern Indiana High School tip-off show. We're going to pick 2 to 3 games each week, the big games here with Clark and Floyd County teams. We'll interview coaches. Occasionally, we'll interview players. It's going to be a fun time. And again, this week it's going to air Friday. Normally, the show will air Thursday and Friday moving forward. And we want to thank Frank H. Monroe Heating and Cooling. They are the title sponsor of that program. Just another addition to our lineup of local coverage here on the Big X Sports Radio. Again, we'll have coaches, we'll have players, we'll have everything you need to know about the big games on Thursday. We'll replay that show again Friday, heading into our high school basketball coverage that night. And again, Frank H. Monroe Heating and Cooling, the sponsor of that program. We'll be telling you more about them and that show each week here on the Hoosier Report as well. And a reminder, our high school broadcast, as I mentioned, Castle at Floyd Central. I'll have the call with Lee Kelly on Friday night in Floyd's Knob. Should be fun to see the Highlanders, who are now 3-0 after the win last night. Jake Heidbreeder, a big performance, take on 4A Castle. Will be a good challenge, I think, for this Highlander ball club. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. We'll talk IU basketball's big win to start the month of December last night over Florida State. We'll break down the game. We'll talk about some of the big individual performances and much more coming up next. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, presented by CC Power Sports.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday program talking all about Indiana's big win last night over Florida State. And joining us to talk about that in more detail is Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. He covers IU, Purdue, and Butler for The Athletic and joins us Wednesdays here on the program. Dustin, I tell you what, we covered in the first segment going through our headlines today so many positives last night, whether it was individual player performances, whether it was some accomplishments as a team in a certain statistical category. But overall, I'm very impressed with what I saw last night, and I think most people that were at the game, most people that watched the game, maybe have a new hope about Indiana. Not that there was ever any negatives really to speak of, but against high-level competition and their first big challenge, this Indiana team has answered in a big way.
Sure. No, I mean, I think our theme of all of our discussions so far about this Indiana team has been, okay, well, can they really do that about against a team that's it's in their class when they're really punching it their weight and not, you know, I don't want to say punching down, they were playing the teams that they scheduled, but, you know, punching somebody at their weight, are they going to be able to do this? And I think the big reason why you were saying, okay, they have a size advantage on all these teams. Is this going to show up? Are they going to be as effective when someone else has some length, has some size, you know, can defend them in the post, you know, can defend them when they get the ball in there? Are they going to be able to do the same things they've been doing? And it turns out, at least against Florida State, they can. I mean, if Florida State is a little bit of a different scout, a little bit of a different team to deal with, they're going to come at you hard man-to-man, where you're going to trap you a lot. They're going to try to deny everything, and there's room to get past them. You know, they're going to press as well, and you're going to get a chance to get some buckets by breaking the press. So there's some opportunities there that they won't necessarily see against other teams. But, I mean, the athleticism level is there. You're going to be challenged at the rim. You're going to have to fight hard to get the ball in the paint and to finish. And they were able to do a lot of those things. I mean, it obviously got a little bit of sloppy in the second half at times, and they let Florida State get back in that. But really, in the first half, they did everything you could have asked them to do. If you were to set sort of the markers that you won, if you're Indiana in that game, they really hit every one of them. They only turned the ball over six times in the first half, and they were ahead on the glass. They were ahead on points to the paint. They were able to out-muscle a Florida State team that generally year-to-year wins on muscle, and has kind of had to do that even more you know, this year with a lot of new guys having lost some of their best, you know, really basketball players. They've added guys that are longer, and they've got more athletes that they can just swarm you with. And again, they were able to take that. And again, just so many positives, so many things, little statistics you look at and say, okay, well, you'll really take that from that guy or from those guys. Again, they end up winning the battle of the glass, you know, 35-25. You know, outscore them on the paint by a couple, 30-28, and, you know, again, got a bunch of free throws. As Archie Miller has been saying over and over again, you know, they want to get fouled, and they only shot 60.5% at the line, so they left a couple points there. But all the same, you know, a big, you know, stat that Bobby Knight used to use was talk about making more free throws than the other team attempted, and they did that by a long shot. They were 23-38, and Florida State was 7-16, so they really won the battle on the free throw line. So all of those markers were terrific, and then obviously Devontae Green just went wild for 30, and he was just spectacular.
Let's talk a little bit about Devontae Green, his 30-point new career high performance last night. He was 10 of 15 shooting, 5 of 7 from 3, including the late almost miracle shot when you knew it was his night when that one went through the net. Also 5 of 7 from the free throw line. There were some crazy passes and turnovers late when the game got a little tighter and Indiana was really in transition that Devontae was responsible for. But still, overall, that you talk about a guy stepping into a new role as a big-time scorer. Yes, we've seen him score the ball other games this year. Yes, even last year he had some big games, especially late. But 30 points, not sure that's something we'll see every night from him. But he showed last night, I thought, against Florida State that he can score against the biggest programs in the country.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, there was just so much to that performance that's it was just so Devontae. It was just such a signature quintessential sort of Devontae Green. You know, you get a little bit of the bad, but so much of the good in terms of what he can do. I mean, obviously, he's the one guy. You know, I mean, I think Trace Jackson Davis is the best all-around player on this team, but Devontae Green is the only guy on this roster that can do that. That can go off like that. They can have one of those nights where everything's going down, and you can find different ways to score, and he can make shots that nobody else can make. There's a couple shots that were just, you know, he had a couple threes that were really in rhythm. A couple shots that I was just like, I can't even believe you're taking that, and you made it, and I can't explain that at all. Because there was the three where it looked like he was trying to get a foul and somehow managed to just scissor kick, put every ounce of oomph he still had into the shot, and somehow clear the net and get it, clear the rim and get it. But there was also that one turnaround where he kind of like, you know, went to his right and then went to his left and then had nowhere to go and just faded and somehow, you know, knocks it down. And that was probably, the craziest, most ill-advised shot he took all night, because he still had like 8 seconds on the clock and guys he could pass to, and he was just like, nope, taking this tonight, hitting it. But the drives, I think, were the special thing. You know, I think there was a couple really good drives, you know, where he got down by the rim and had to contort his body a little bit to get around some of those trees that Florida State's got in the middle. And finish. And it's just, again, you see that's such a big part of his game. And there's just, they've got other guys that can drive and finish, but not quite like that. Not quite when, you know, you can get yourself into trouble right around the rim and still, you know, again, contort your body in such a way to make the shot. And those are just kind of special. Again, he made some bad passes. But Archie Miller just kind of said, you know, this is, you take that bad with that good. When you're going to get that much good, you'll deal with a couple that aren't great, and you obviously want them to limit it. You know, be a little bit smarter, be a little bit stronger with the basketball, and you know, you like the idea of maybe playing him at the point a little less, so he's not necessarily as ball dominant, and so he doesn't have his opportunity to make decisions quite like that. But you know, again, when a guy can really splash like Devontae Green can, you take evenings like that and you just get on the basketball and you let him score.
Talking to Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. He's always with us Wednesdays. We talk IU basketball and more. Trace Jackson Davis is next on my checklist for you today. We all have bragged and bragged about his performances so far this season, his consistency in those performances, double doubles in many games, Big Ten Freshman of the Week now twice so far in this young season. And I said yesterday on the show, I said, you know, just watching him come into himself, and obviously even going back to his high school days, we saw what we thought was a lot of potential and a lot of skill, and obviously he's got the good bloodlines as well with an NBA connection there. But I said yesterday, if Trace Jackson Davis can be consistent, even if it's not double-double categories, if it's just good, consistent play game in and game out against Florida State, against high major teams, against Big Ten Conference teams, he's going to be a big, big addition to this team. We already know that, but maybe a difference maker in some levels with this team. And last night, not only was he a difference maker, but he was consistent once again. He was 2 rebounds shy of another double-double, and this time it wasn't coming against South Dakota State or some mid-major out there. It was coming against Florida State, who's, according to many, picked near the top of the ACC conference.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, Trace Jackson Davis is kind of, what am I trying to say here exactly? He is the plan, basically. I mean, he is the guy that, you know, when Archie Miller draws up, you know, the game plan, when he sees what he wants out of this team, you know, it's really encompassed in Trace Jackson Davis. He wants the ball in the paint, and he wants them to get fouls, and he wants them to rebound, and Trace Jackson Davis does all of those things. I mean, he is getting the ball to him and letting him do what he does is option one. And, you know, again, I guess you saw last night that it can work, you know, for this team, basically, that he can not only be a productive player, but he can be the guy that, you know, the point of the offense is to get him the basketball, is to get the ball down to him and let him take advantage of his length and his size and get fouled. And, you know, I think it takes a good bit of really focus on the part of a freshman to be in a game like that and keep getting fouled, know that's the plan, and step up and make your free throws. Because I think when, you know, there was a bunch of occasions where, you know, he was getting hacked and he was getting a shot blocked, and it doesn't count as a block because it's a foul. But, you know, he's getting the ball and he's not getting you know, to finish through contact necessarily. You know, they're not letting him do that, but they're sending him to the line. It's like, okay, deal with that. Understand that's what you're supposed to do. Go make the free throws and don't think about, you know, wishing you finished the shot. I think, again, that shows some maturity. I mean, obviously he missed five of them and he's not going to be perfect there. He's a really good free throw shooter. He's not a great lights out, never going to miss one free throw shooter. I mean, he's going to draw a lot. I mean, he drew 7 fouls last night. I actually was surprised that number wasn't higher. And, you know, again, he's going to put himself in a position where he's going to get that ball in a low block. He's going to make a move, and you either have to foul him or let him finish it. And teams are going to foul him, and they're going to put him at the line, and that's going to put a lot of guys in foul trouble. You know, they had one, you know, a couple guys with, you know, Florida State had a guy foul out, and Walker last night, you know, two more with four, ended up having 25 fouls, you know, counting the technical. And he just, I mean, he draws a bunch of those. And again, that's just, it shows a good bit of maturity. You know, he's smart with the ball down there. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to get himself in position to get himself fouled, or, you know, or put himself in position to either make or get fouled. And it's impressive. And again, he was able to rebound there is a big deal. Again, going against a bunch of guys, you know, there's a lot of length on that Florida State team. And they're not as big as they were last year when they were really massive with Kamuji and Mafundu and Cabangele. I mean, there was an obscene amount of length on that team. There's a little bit less on this one, but they still got a couple 7-foot centers and a bunch of guys that are somewhere between 6'6 and 6'9. And he rebounded over all of them. And he showed himself to be, you know, again, I think the best post player in that game, the best, you know, forward in that game, just making a bunch of plays. And it just basically shows that it is going to translate. It is going to show up. You know, he's not going to be perfect every night, but I mean, he's going to be able to do that, get to the line and get some rebounds and you know, get double doubles or close to it just by doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. You were there last night. You were at the game. How crazy was Assembly Hall? I think it was the first time definitely this year, and due to the part that Florida State was a big-time opponent, this is part of the Big Ten ACC Challenge. But how different was Assembly Hall last night from some of the earlier games in November?
Oh, yeah, a lot. I mean, it just felt like it was almost like November was the JV schedule. In a way, you know, I mean, obviously Indiana was putting out a varsity basketball team, but it felt like, you know, everybody was just sort of slowly waking up to having to go to the hall. And this was the first night that they were, you know, just seriously engaged. Because, again, there weren't too many games that were close. And, you know, if it was close in the second half, I mean, it meant there was a problem. You know, in this case, I think the fans kind of realized, you know, when they had to rise to the moment, and they did. You had a couple of those occasions where it really felt like, you know, the roof was caving in on Florida State's head. And that's what Assembly Hall is capable of in a good night, and they really brought it. I mean, there was, you know, a substantial number of open seats there last night, but the people who showed up, you know, really, really brought a lot of energy. I think in Indiana was able to feed off that, and there were certain guys, a couple guys who hadn't, you know, experienced that before, and a couple guys who hadn't experienced that in a long time. And again, they were really able to use that to their advantage. I think it was a really big deal, like, being able to, you know, put themselves in position to, you know, make some runs and, you know, kind of extend those to the point that they were really burying Florida State, especially toward the end of the second half.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. Archie Miller, and I know you were there as well at the post-game presser. Archie Miller had some interesting comments, as you would think he would after a win like this, but and you can correct me if I'm wrong, something about this team, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he used the word being built to be fouled. Maybe even to get to the free throw line. What do you think he meant by that? How did you take that comment?
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, I think that is one thing he said over and over again, is they want to get free throws. You know, basically that's the way that they want to score. And what I think that means more than anything else is when you have, you know, when you're going to be this post-oriented and you're not going to have a lot of guys who make a ton of threes. Obviously, Devontae Green can. Al Durham can. Armand Franklin can hit one on occasion. Rob Finnessy can hit one on occasion. But as a group, this still isn't a team that's built on the three-point shot. I mean, they're going to put Justin Smith out there at small forward most of the time, and he's an okay shooter, but ultimately he's not a guy that you want to take a ton of them. So it is going to be a team that's built on its length and it's built on its ability to get the ball in the paint. And as the season goes forward and teams notice that, they're going to put bodies in the paint to make sure that their lives aren't easy. Well, you know, one thing that happens that way is you get contact and you get fouled. So that I think is really going to happen. I think that's, you know, again, as I mentioned with Trace Jackson Davis, I mean, he dropped 7 fouls last night. Justin Smith drew 6 last night. Those guys, I mean, they're physical guys, they're long. but they're not so overwhelmingly huge that they're just going to dunk on everybody every time. You're going to be able to stop them from scoring if you make contact, and that ends up with them, you know, sending them to the free throw line. So again, they've got to make some of those foul shots. It's not, you know, again, they're not going to be a lights out foul shooting team. But if they can make more than their opponent's attempt, then that goes a long way towards them having a shot at winning basketball games. Again, it's just built that way because it's long. And again, when you're going to see bodies, especially in the Big Ten, when they're not going to let you get out and run, and they're not going to let you get the ball in the post easy, they're going to make it hard for you. They still will foul you. You know, they're still going to hit you. And if you get some calls, and you know, then you're going to have a chance to spend a lot of time at the free throw line. And they're going to have to get a lot of points there. Again, the finishes won't always come easy. They're not always going to be a great three-point shooting team. And, you know, they've been able to run so far, and they were able to run a little bit last night, get going in transition. You know, again, in the Big Ten, that's not going to be easy. They're going to send guys back, and they're going to be able to tell, hey, this team wants to run, it wants to play in transition, just don't let them, and they won't. So, you know, they're not going to be able to get as many easy buckets that way, but they will be able to get the ball. If they can continually get the ball in the paint, go give those two guys a shot to make some plays, especially, and even the five men and Brunk and Davis and those guys, you know, they're going to have a chance to get to the line a lot, and they're going to have a chance to get a lot of points that way.
Talking to Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, IU, obviously a big win last night over Florida State. I don't want to move on from last night's game with you without bringing up at least Justin Smith. He didn't have the outburst that Devontae Green had, and he hasn't had the consistency, including a good game again last night, that Trace Jackson Davis has brought to this team. But I think at times this year, Justin Smith, especially early on, he had some big point performances, and he always seems to put together some very athletic plays. But he last night was more quiet than some of the others, but still 14 points, 5 rebounds, a pretty solid performance from him. He did play a team-high 35 minutes, which is interesting. His defense looks better, and I thought last night was really good. And he's shooting it pretty well from the floor as well for this Indiana team overall through the 8 games this season. A little bit about him and his role on this team, and as this season goes on, where you could see him at.
Yeah, I think it's been very interesting to watch him figure himself out. I mean, I think, you know, I did a piece on Justin before the season, and I was talking to him, and I talked to Bruiser Smith, and I had this sort of, you know, like it just sort of sounded to me like, are these guys on the same page? Because it seems like Justin wants to do more at the perimeter, you know, wants to do more off the bounce from the perimeter, wants to do more 3-point shots. And Bruiser Flynn is telling him, you know, use your advantage, you know, understand where your advantage is offensively. And I'm kind of thinking, okay, maybe these ideas are in conflict. I mean, does he know what he's being asked to do, or does he want to prove that he's a 3-point shooter? And what's happened is I think he's played much smarter basketball. He does have an idea of what his advantage is. You know, he believes in himself to hit the occasional 3-pointer, but if it isn't there, he's not taking it. He's not forcing them. And, you know, if he misses one, that's okay. I mean, he'll shoot the ones that are there that are open, and he's not necessarily afraid of it, but he's also looking at it and saying, you know, he is the probably the most athletic guy on the floor. You know, he's tall at 6'7". He plays a little bit bigger than that. He can get going in transition, and he can score around the basket, you know, basically, or, you know, within, you know, out to 8 feet or so. I mean, he's got a bunch of, you know, good moves. He's able to finish that way. He can attack when they're in transition, when they're running. You know, he can get himself open, you know, cutting around the bucket. He can post some guys up. He's got options to score that are not 3-point shots and not really perimeter oriented, and ways that he could punish smaller defenders. And he's doing that. And he's also another guy that's getting fouled and doing okay with it. I mean, he's not perfect at the line. He's a worse free throw shooter than Trace Jackson Davis is, but he's better than he was last year. I mean, I think going into last night, he was about 66.7%. I think he might have gone a tick down, or actually, I think he matched that. I think he was 6 of 9 at the line. So, you know, that's about where you'll take him. I mean, he's not going to be a 75%, 80% guy. You know, he's not lights out like that. His form's just a little bit weird. Seems a little bit shaky when he puts the ball up. But if he can be 67%, he's going to get a bunch of points that way. He's rebounding well. He's defending well. He's playing smart basketball. I think one of the, you know, most important plays I saw him make, you know, last night, I think there was a 3 that Green hit early, and Durham, Durham drove baseline, found the center, and then kicked out to where Smith was in the corner. And that's a shot he can make. That's a shot he can take. But he was like, okay, one more pass, and I think Green might have hit a three already. And he's like, you know what? This is a good time to feed Devontae. And he hit him with the left elbow, and Green drilled it. And it was just like it was one of those smart moves that you're starting to see him make, that shows that he's starting to get an idea what the coaches want and how to play really good team basketball with these guys. And you're just seeing, I think, a lot of evolutions about of him playing smarter. I mean, again, he is a guy that's highly analytical, thinks a lot about the game, but hasn't always seemed to really understand his role in it yet. And I think he gets it now, not entirely. There's still moments where you're like, Justin, you don't want to do that. But more and more, you're seeing him make the smart basketball play and get an idea of what his advantage really is and how to make it work for this team.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. Fun conversation after a very well-played game last night for the Hoosiers. And I think for the fan base, last night's performance really raises their eyebrows and hope that the upcoming Big Ten games and some of the other non-conference highlights on the schedule this month can be potential victories for this team, and that maybe this team can make the tournament, can turn the corner this season and finish higher than a lot of the projections out there in the Big Ten Conference. Dustin, always fun to catch up. Appreciate your time as always, and we'll do it again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me as always.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic with us. The Hoosier Report is now presented by CC Power Sports each day here on the Big X Sports Radio. We want to remind you about a special Christmas deal. Every child's dream, a new dirt bike at Christmas. And at CC Power Sports, they're helping make that dream easier with free Christmas layaway and storage now through Christmas. All you got to do, put down a deposit, pay as you wish until December 21st. CC Power Sports will even store your purchase to keep the dreams of Christmas alive and the bike out of sight. You can visit ccpowersports.com for more details. Again, ccpowersports.com. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back to talk local sports with Craig Pearson. He's the sports editor of the News and Tribune. We'll talk some high school hoops and more after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, presented by CC Power Sports.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back in Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report presented by CC Power Sports. Greg Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is with me always on Wednesdays in studios to talk local sports, lots of high school stuff. And this segment is presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. Don't forget that they offer custom apparel to meet all of your apparel needs, including T-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, promotional items as well, screen printing, embroidery, fully sublimated uniforms, whatever it may be. Let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. Visit mlshirtco.com to find out more. That's mlshirtco.com. Craig, the high school basketball season is officially here. It's off to a very fast and furious start. Very interesting Thanksgiving week of games, and now we'll settle in over the next few weeks as teams get multiple games under their belt. We've got some other big ones coming up here in the month of December that are going to be fun to talk about and follow and cover, of course, as well with the News and Tribune and your coverage. But I think we're off to a good start, and I think we've got some teams that have some opportunities to do some special stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I was able to get up to Cincinnati to see Jeffersonville open up, and they looked really good for 80% of that game. Had a little spurt where they struggled, but it was an impressive game for a lot of guys there, and good to see them. I think obviously some of the at Floyd Central and Silver Creek, as you've mentioned, are off to a nice start. Christian Academy looked very solid, but it's just gonna be a fun year all around. There's several other teams I should probably mention right now, but it's gonna be a good winter all around.
Well, I'd like to circle back to some high school stuff here in a minute, but I want to open up. You had a great story. There's been a lot of coverage recently, but great to see one local on Sean East, a New Albany product who is playing at UMass and having a lot of success. He earned an opportunity to start. He capitalized on that opportunity. I think he started every game for UMass this season. And he's had some big performances with points. He's always seems to be one of their leaders in the assist category, and it's really interesting to see how his game has expanded, and he's really come into his own as a player at the at a good level. That's, I mean, the Atlantic 10 Conference, the teams they're playing, you know, it's mid-major plus. It's high-major minus, whatever you want to classify it. A very good level of college basketball, and Sean East is doing well. You guys had a really neat piece on him.
Yeah, absolutely. It was actually written by a young man named Javier Mello. He's a senior journalism student up there at UMass, and you know, he'd kind of built up a nice rapport with Sean and had the chance to talk with him several times. So I asked him to write something for us, and you know, yeah, he did a nice job with it. You know, Sean's obviously kind of an intriguing guy. He's got a different style of game that kind of intrigues people like that, and it's fun to see him be able to step in as a freshman and really contribute the way he has. And you know, we got some good comments from his teammates and what they love about him, and I think that was fun, you know, and just seeing they all instantly respect Sean for his love of the game and the way he's working hard up there and that sort of thing. So absolutely great to see Sean, and very curious to see where his career is going to continue to progress.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. They get to come this way to Dayton and then also St. Louis. None of them are extremely close. There might be another opponent or so in the area, maybe Akron, I'm not sure, but someone else is fairly reasonably close. But obviously it's going to be fun to watch where he takes this, because anybody that had a chance to watch Sean in his high school years and know how dedicated he is to the game of basketball knows that once he worked his way into that lineup and became a starter early in the year, that he's going to be able to do some big things there from both a leadership perspective down the line as he gets a little age on him at UMass, but also from an on-the-court performance perspective as well. So many kids, so many different places, different levels of college basketball. We probably could have a segment each week just tracking all of the former players in the area and what they're doing and where they're doing it at.
For sure, yeah. Sean's obviously got a bright future, and good to see him doing so well. And I remember talking to him when he was at Combine Academy last year, and how you know, he was working hard in the weight room, getting up first thing in the morning, and you know, really busting his butt there to get to this level. So good to see him achieving his dreams. And like you mentioned, yeah, Kobe Barnes obviously playing at Indiana State. I think he played 18 minutes last night and had like a steal and a point, couple rebounds, something like that. So and a nice win for the Sycamores.
Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Don't forget, a lot of the things we talk about, you can read about as well at newsandtribune.com/sports, or you can pick up a print edition of the News and Tribune as well. This segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. If you're looking to raise money for your team or event, let Major League Shirt Company's online fan stores work for you. Outfit your fans and raise money with very little effort. Major League even does the sorting. All you got to do is cash the check. Find out more at Major League Shirt Company's website, mlshirtco.com. High school basketball, Craig. You mentioned going down to Mason, Ohio, the Cincinnati area, to watch the Red Devils. They had a very impressive performance for most of the game that makes you wonder how good this Jeff team could be as things move on. But I think we got to stop and look at some other teams in the area as well. Floyd Central, a story you can read in the News and Tribune today, was victorious last night. Although Clarksville hung in there with them for half or more of the game, it was fairly competitive. But Floyd Central 3-0, they're going to get another small test on Friday when they host Castle. Jake Heidbreeder has answered the early season test so far with some big performances for Floyd. And I think as they go on, Heidbreeder, Goman, Caleb Washington, the freshman that you and I are so high on, number one in our prospect rankings, other guards that maybe were JV solid players a year ago, as all of those get more seasoned to go along with Jake and Grant, I think Floyd will get better each and every night out.
Right. Yeah, like you said, Clarksville did hang in there pretty well, and you know, I think that's team's going to improve and keep getting better, and it, you know, be fun to see where they match up when they get into in Mid-Southern Conference action there. They've obviously got a tough matchup with Silver Creek this week, but everybody's a tough matchup for Silver Creek.
Yes.
So, yeah, Jeff Floyd Central. Yeah, maybe Castle's the best team they've played. At this point, I don't know. Christian Academy certainly might have an argument, but Let's see here. So yeah, it's gonna be it should be a good weekend. Yeah, absolutely. See where Jeff matches up with another top five team in the state, I believe. Right. So that's gonna be fun this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeffersonville's schedule. We talked about this some with Coach Moore in our media day program at Zaxby's, but their schedule is just outstanding. It is a very tough schedule. It was beefed up, of course, by Coach Joe Luce in preparation for this year. But the Red Devils going to Mason, Ohio, taking on a very good team with a nationally rated prospect in Woodward High School, and now Lawrence North at home this weekend. Some very interesting challenges early on for this team. And I think that's going to pay big dividends for the Red Devils as the season wears on and you get into some of those later games in conference play and more meaningful games, obviously, in the tournament.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think it is going to be very tough. I mean, and I don't think they expect to go undefeated, although, you know, I'm sure the guys think they can. But, you know, I'm sure they're going to have a couple bumps in the road. But, you know, as coaches tend to do, they like to find ways to learn from those losses and find teaching moments and all that sort of thing. But, no, I think Jeff if it can avoid some of the issues it had last weekend with some turnovers and that sort of thing, I think I like their chances against anybody and look forward to seeing them against Lawrence North.
Talking local sports with Craig Pearson. He's the sports editor of the News and Tribune, and he joins me Wednesdays here on the program. What else has stood out to you? Obviously, Floyd and Silver Creek, and we've talked a lot about Jeff so far today. New Albany has some work cut out for him, but I think a lot of that is due to having some seniors out. Julian Hunter with an injury, still really unknown on exactly when he'll be back for the Bulldogs. Trey Horrigan missed the Bloomington South game as well and is expected, I think, to miss this weekend also. But going without seniors right now is tough for the Dogs.
Right, maybe a good opportunity for those sophomore guards to really cement themselves and what they're capable of, I suppose, and see what Tucker Bivin and Caden Stanton are made of. Can they kind of help put the team on their back right now? I think that'd be part of the storyline there with the Bulldogs. I think if Silver Creek has some storylines, yeah, maybe it's who are these other guys that are some of the new guys around Kaufman and Jacoby right now that Coach Hoffman's got to kind of develop into the right type of role players for them. I think that's one thing to watch for. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing Providence at some point. They got a nice win at Tell City last week. So
Nick Sexton.
Yeah. New Wash and Rock Creek as well are going head-to-head this weekend, and New Wash is off to a nice start, and Rock Creek's got some nice young talent. So should be fun going forward here this weekend.
Craig Pearson of the News and Tribune. You can read all their work that's there now and forthcoming with coverage this weekend at newsintribune.com/sports. This segment presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt. We got to go. That's the end of our Wednesday show. Back with you Thursday. This is the Hoosier Report presented by CC Power Sports.